Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester, and thank you so much for tuning us in once again. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Johnny Hodges. Things Ain't What They Used to Be. Recorded back in 1941 in Hollywood, California, Johnny Hodges and his orchestra, featuring Ray Nance on trumpet, Lawrence Brown on trombone, Johnny Hodges, of course, on alto saxophone, Harry Carney on baritone sax, Duke Ellington on piano, Jimmy Blanson on bass, and Sonny Greer on drums. Another musician to look into is Jimmy Blanton. He took, or I guess Duke let him take, the upright bass from the back of the orchestra to the front. Jimmy Blanton and Duke Ellington did some fine work together, and that'll be an issue for another episode of the Jazz Treasury. The music created by Duke Ellington was mediated through the brilliantly talented players that he collected around him. The unique sound of his orchestra was the combination of all their individual voices. When they made records under their own names, the results were often a fascinating Ellington in miniature, a kind of intimate chamber music compared to the majesty of the full orchestra. Duke Ellington's leading players, the ones whose strong musical personalities and vivid styles constituted the material with which he worked, stayed with him for years, and often for decades. A good number of them left, then came back again, as the link, once forged, proved virtually impossible to break. Even the ones who did go on to carve out their own careers took with them a faintly ducal aura, simply because their sound had once been an integral part of his sound. Barney Bigard, Rex Stewart, Cootie Williams, and Johnny Hodges, the four players featured on this episode here as bandleaders, were all members of the orchestra in one of its greatest periods, the late 1930s and early 1940s. Each of them has a style so personal that it can be recognized in a couple of notes. In most cases, they are surrounded by other Ellingtonians, including Duke himself, on many occasions. This is because the bands were conceived and set up as an Ellington enterprise. Small bands within big bands were a popular feature at the time. Benny Goodman, Bob Crosby, Tommy Dorsey, and Artie Shaw, among others, all included spots for small groups in their shows. Count Basie recorded with his Kansas City 7, and Chick Webb's band became the Savoy 8 to accompany Ella Fitzgerald. Another thing to look for, Kansas City 7, Count Basie, CD, album, fantastic. Hey, let's move on to another track. We talked about Rex Stewart. Let's listen to a Rex Stewart track. We're going to listen to Lazy Man Shuffle, and this is recorded in Hollywood, California, 1936. And it features Rex Stewart on cornet, Lawrence Brown on trombone, Johnny Hodges joining Rex here on the soprano saxophone, Harry Carney on baritone, Celie Burke on electric guitar, Duke Ellington on piano, Billy Taylor on bass, and Sonny Greer on the drums. Let's listen to Lazy Man Shuffle by Rex Stewart and his 52nd Street Stompers on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. Rex Stewart and his 52nd Street Stompers, Lazy Man Shuffle. The eerie sound of the electric steel guitar introduces a new element into the Ellingtonian world, balanced by the familiar voices of Rex, Lawrence, Brown, Harry Carney, and Hodges, who play soprano saxophone. Of all the individual voices in Duke's wonderful chorus, that of Rex Stewart was one of the most remarkable and downright eccentric at times. His coronet style was a thing of gasps and gurgles, shouts and sighs, with a naturally warm, juicy tone and a great sense of drama. His trademark was the half-valve effect. If the valves of a trumpet or cornet are pressed partway down, the instrument produces a hollow, strangled sound. Most trumpet players, including Louis Armstrong, use the effect from time to time, but it was a cornerstone of Stewart's style. Many Ellington compositions of that period were built around Rex. Leaving Ellington at the end of World War II, Stewart formed his own band, Rex Stewart and his Rextet, which was one of the first American jazz groups to visit post-war Europe. An efficient and highly articulate man, Stewart made all his own arrangements for the tour, including dealing with promoters and club owners. He died of a brain hemorrhage in 1967. An anthology of his pieces for Downbeat was published after his death under the title Jazz Masters of the 30s. Let's move on to a new track. Next of Duke's men, Cootie Williams. We'll listen to a track by Cootie Williams and his orchestra, Blue Garden Blues, recorded in New York City in 1944, features a large orchestra with Cootie, Perry Treadwell, and Lamar Wright, and Tommy Stevenson on trumpets, Ed Burke, Bob Horton, Ed Glover on trombone, Eddie Vincent, Frank Powell on alto, Sam the Man Taylor, Lee Pope on tenor, Eddie DeVectrol on baritone sax, Bud Powell piano, Leroy Kirkland on bass, and Carl Pruitt on the drums, and again, New York City, 1944. Let's listen to Cootie Williams and his orchestra, Blue Garden Blues.
You're listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
Cootie Charles Melvin Williams left Fletcher Henderson and joined Duke in 1929 at age 18. He was hired to replace Bubba Miley, one of the few musicians Ellington ever sacked. Miley's growling, muted trumpet solos were an important part of the band's evolving style, but his was too undisciplined and wayward even for the easygoing Duke. Although Ellington never actually told him to take over Bubba's role, and he had never attempted the growl style before, Cootie took it upon himself to learn. He was a thoroughly schooled musician, having studied with a private teacher since childhood, and a natural jazz player. Without the growl and the mute, he played with a handsome, bright tone in the Armstrong manner. Williams could sight-read anything and would play all night without flagging. In a band containing more than its fair share of happy-go-lucky and downright irresponsible characters, Cootie, a serious-minded, sober man with an air of great authority, proved to be a huge asset. Not only was he a superb player in his own right, but he also contrived to keep the others in order. "They cursed me sometimes," he recalled, "but I don't care." All right, time to move on to another tune. Let's listen to another one of Duke's men. We're going to listen to Barney Bigard here and his trio, small band situation, Steps Down, with Barney Bigard on clarinet, Eddie Haywood on piano, and Shelly Mann doing the drums here. New York City, 1944. Let's listen to Barney Bigard and his trio doing Steps Down on the Jazz Treasury. Okay, that was Barney Bigard, Steps Down, New York City, 1944. Step, or Steps, was one of Bigard's nicknames. On the only boogie-woogie piece he ever recorded, his light and airy performance shows off his technique and tone to perfection. Pianist Eddie Heywood was a popular band leader in his own right, while the 23-year-old drummer, Shelly Mann, although serving in the U.S. Navy at the time, found time not only to play but also to organize sessions, of which this was one, for the New York-based Signature label. Barney Bigard. His clarinet runs like a bright thread through the fabric of all of Ellington's work, recorded between 1928 and 1942. Born in New Orleans in 1906, Bigard studied clarinet as a boy with the great Lorenzo Tio Jr., who taught virtually every clarinetist of the first jazz generation in New Orleans. Okay, we're going to finish this episode up of The Duke's Men with Johnny Hodges doing a classic tune, Jeep's Blues. This one they did every time they performed, I think, with the Ellington Orchestra. In fact, Jeep's Blues was written by Johnny Hodges and Duke Ellington, and it features Cootie Williams on trumpet, Lawrence Brown on trombone, Johnny Hodges on soprano sax, Harry Carney on baritone sax, Duke Ellington piano, Billy Taylor bass, Sonny Greer on drums, and this one goes back a ways, 1938 in New York City. Let's listen to Johnny Hodges and his orchestra doing Jeep's Blues. Johnny Hodges, Jeep's Blues. And a few other things you can look for while you're looking online or going to the record shop. Look for Jimmy Blanton. Just very briefly, Jimmy Blanton was born in 1918 and lived to 1942. No one had ever heard bass playing like it when Tennessee-born Blanton joined the Ellington Rhythm Section from Fate Marable's band. Not only was his technique faster and much more accurate than that of anyone who had come before him, but his tone was fuller and rounder, and the pulse he generated beneath the band drove it along as never before. Blanton joined Ellington in 1939 and provided the impetus behind all the classic recordings of the next 2 years. Sadly, he succumbed to congenital tuberculosis, aged just 23 years old. A couple of good CDs out there on the Blanton Ellington years. I think RCA has one, so check that out. Other recordings you can look for. Members of the Ellington Orchestra continued to make extracurricular recordings through the years. The 1950s was a particularly rich decade for the small band sessions. Look for Billy Strayhorn, Q for Saxophone, 1959. The Coronets, Catwalk / The Happening in 1951, Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn, Tonk in 1950, and Johnny Hodges back to back, side by side, 1958 and 1959. Well, thank you so much for listening in to the Jazz Treasury with Rich Sylvester. By the way, the information and a lot of the music we get here is from a publication put out by the Marshall Cavendish Foundation back in the late 90s, and I was fortunate enough to collect every issue of those, and I'm here to share it with you. And please feel free to visit our Facebook page, the Jazz Treasury Podcast, and feel free to contribute any way you can. Seeing who would like to share their jazz experience. If you have a favorite track or favorite musician you'd like to share with us on Facebook, put a link on there from YouTube and let us all hear it. Next time on the Jazz Treasury, we're going to look at the great musician called Jimmy Lunsford. The Lunsford Band had an unmatched combination of showmanship and brilliantly organized ensemble playing, inspired by the innovative arrangements of Cy Oliver and Eddie Durham. Disciplined yet exciting, it was a premier orchestra of the swing era. Next time on the Jazz Treasury, we'll listen to Jimmy Lunsford. And thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for subscribing. Feel free to share. Feel free to rate and review, and that'll help us go even further. We're approaching 50,000 downloads around the world. Thank you to the listeners in Puerto Rico and the listeners in Australia and America and Africa, all over the world. And please keep in touch. So until next time, enjoy the jazz.